ìwọ ni mo wá wá. Olúwa,
ìwọ ni mo wá wá. Ènìyàn kí wọ́n sọ̀tọ̀ rẹ̀ kó lọ lé lọ́fọ̀. Wá bá mi pàdé o. Ìwọ ni,
ìwọ ni mo wá wá.
Olúwa, ìwọ ni mo wá wá. Ènìyàn kí wọ́n sọ̀tọ̀ rẹ̀ kó lọ lé lọ́fọ̀. Wá bá mi pàdé o.
One more time. This is our prayer this morning, that you that we have come to meet, we encounter us. You that we have come to see, we manifest for us. In the name of Jesus, we have not come to see any man, we have come to see Jesus. Let everyone in this service have an encounter with Jesus this morning, in the name of Jesus. Thank you for hearing us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Put your hands together for the Lord and please take your seat. Once again, I want to appreciate our Father in the Lord, the apostle of this mission, for this great privilege of coming to share fellowship with us. Hallelujah. We started yesterday on our topic, The Siege is Over. It was an introductory session, and this morning we are continuing. But before I go forward, I brought some books that will be of help to you. Men are made by books. If you see any man who is succeeding in any field, ask him, he has read some books. Amen. Some of the things we are teaching, we cannot fully download everything here. So you can only find them in books. Amen? And I also want to encourage you to visit my website, bioowosheni.com. There are a number of e-books there that you can download for free on prayer and spiritual warfare, free of charge. Amen? Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I am starting on what I call reasons for the siege in your life. Reasons for the siege in your life. God does not do anything without a reason. The devil does not do things without reasons. Reasons for the siege in your life. And there are three reasons for the siege of the enemy in our lives. The number one is disobedience to God. We read the account of how Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem and took over the city, killed the king, slaughtered his sons. And you ask yourself, why would God allow that? Yes, they have been disobedient to God. God had been warning them through his prophet, Jeremiah and all the others, repent, return to me, stop worshiping idols and all those kind of things. But they would not listen until eventually judgment came in form of a siege. So if you have been disobedient to God, please repent. And most of the time, the area where you are disobedient to God is the area where you experience a siege. For example, if you are disobedient to God in the area of the choice of a marriage partner and you marry the wrong person, your married life will be under a siege for almost all your life. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? So disobedience to God is the number one reason for sieges or the siege of the enemy in our life. So if you are here, you know you've been disobedient to God, and God has a way of letting you know you have been disobedient. Just go back to God and repent. And go back to obedience. It's not only to repent, but you go back to what? Obedience. Is there anything God has asked you to do before that you refuse to do? After you have repented, go and begin to do those things. Praise the Lord. But that's not my focus this morning. My focus is on the second one. Reasons for the siege in your life, part two. And the reason is that you are loaded, you are valuable, you are strategic, you are important. Say, I am loaded. Say, I am loaded, I am valuable, I am strategic, I am what? Important. Now, you need to understand that when you are loaded with grace, divine treasures, and potentials, the enemy will come after you. When you are unusually gifted, talented, and resourceful, the enemy will fight you and try to frustrate you. When the enemy considers you a threat to his agenda, possibly because you know too much or you have too much influence, he will try to capture you and destroy you. The reality of it is this: when you are loaded, when you are valuable, when you are strategic, when you are important, the enemy is afraid of you. And because of that, he will come and lay a siege around your life to ensure that you are captured, or you are limited, or you do not manifest what God has placed in you. Tell somebody beside, say, the enemy. Tell him, say, the enemy is afraid of what is inside you. Tell her, the enemy is afraid of what you are carrying. The enemy is afraid of what God has put in you. There's a divine pregnancy in your spiritual womb. There's a divine dream. There's a divine grace. There's a divine power that is on your inside that the enemy is afraid of. That is the reason for the siege. Turn your Bible to Revelation chapter 12. We read from verse 1 to 4. Revelation chapter 12, from verse 1 to 4. It says, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born." The dragon was afraid of what the woman was carrying. This is not the first time the dragon began to attack the woman. The dragon had been attacking before, right from conception, but he could not defeat the woman. Here was the woman in her weak moment. You see, the devil attacks mostly in your weak moment. One of the weakest moments in the life of a woman is when she's in labor. Are you getting it? That is when witches and wizards wait. All those who have been wanting to destroy her, that is the gate where they wait for her. Jeboma Abimo, we will deal with her. Jeboma Abimo, we will deal with her. I remember we planted a church somewhere in Lagos. Unknown to me, when we planted that church in that location, I did not know it was a witch's den. The place was a coven. You could also almost feel witches flying around, even during the day. I didn't know that. It was later I got to know that that place was a witch's coven. No church prospered there. The only churches you had there were the white garment churches. Who knew how to align with them? There was not a single Pentecostal church there. I was the first person to go and plant a church there. And then back to Staden. And that was when we were just having our first child. My wife was pregnant with our first daughter then. Unknown to me, the witches in that environment said, that new pastor that just come, we are going to create crisis for him. Maybe the wife is pregnant. We'll wait for her at the point of delivery and finish her. And then the ministry will end. Amen. Now, that was their plan. One day in the prayer meeting, we were praying. As we were praying, the Holy Ghost told me, said, look, this is what the witches in this environment have plotted for your wife. And you have to take action. I said, Lord, what action do I take? Pray that one of them will replace your wife. Are you getting what I'm saying? So in our prayer meeting, I told brethren, I said, let us pray that one of them will replace my wife. I did not know that one of them was pregnant. In fact, I didn't even know who the witches were in the community. Amen. It was much later when things began to happen that I knew that this one was part of it. But we just prayed that prayer that let the arrow go back to sender. Those who are waiting for her at the point of delivery, let them carry that attack with their own head. So we prayed that prayer. Unknown to me, one of them was pregnant. And you know what happened? She went to labor first and died. My wife went to labor 2 weeks later and delivered our first daughter. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? They will wait for you at your weak moment. Here was the dragon waiting for the woman and wanting to finish her at the point of delivery. I am praying for you here in the name of Jesus. Any power waiting for you at your weak moment, may God disgrace those power. I said, may God disgrace those power. May God disgrace those power. May God disgrace those power. Listen, those that I have seen that have been bound by the sin of masturbation, the thing always come on them when they are alone in the room. It is when they're alone, the demon will come. He says, that thing they used to do, let's try it again now. You know, you used to enjoy it. Do it again now. And all that. That is when the demon will come. And the guy will say, I didn't know what happened to me. I've done it again, Pastor. Please come and help me. One, he will always come, Pastor, the thing has happened again. I have done it again. I say, I will not do deliverance for you until you begin to do what? To exercise self-control. Because listen, there is deliverance, there is habit. When you have been committing a sin for a while, you have formed a sin habit. Amen. Now, it is because of the sin habit that the demon enters and come to help you to continue in the habit. So you get to a point whereby you are no longer able to control the habit because something other than you is controlling you. Amen. That is a situation whereby you are bondage and you need deliverance. But you see, I always tell people, after we have cast the demon out, the habit you have developed over time, you need to exercise discipline to terminate that habit and put an end to the habit. If you continue in the habit, the demon will come back. Because it was the habit that invited the demon in the first place. So I said, no more deliverance for you. Go and exercise self-control, because it's one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, there is a measure of self-control you can exercise over sin, over bad habits. Everything is not demon. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? So the enemy likes to do that and wait for you in your weak moment to neutralize you. But God Almighty in his mercy arose in the favor of this woman. The Lord picked the child that the woman delivered and took the child to a place where the child was nurtured, away from the reach of the dragon. The dragon will not be able to reach you. No matter how far the dragon stretches his hand, he will not be able to capture you. The agenda of the dragon over your life shall fail. The attack of the dragon shall fail. Because the dragon is afraid of what is inside you. God, our Creator, did an excellent work when he created us. He ensured that everything we need to be successful and fulfilled in life are loaded in us. They are pre-installed. They are preloaded. It's like you buy a computer. All the applications you need, they are pre-installed. They are preloaded. You just open your BSPC and you begin to use them. It's not that you buy a blank computer and you're not looking for Microsoft Word. You're looking for, PowerPoint. You're looking for all those things. No, they are already pre-installed. Listen to me. God is more intelligent than you and I. Are you getting it? God did not design that. It is when you get to this earth, he will not be saying, hey, what will my daughter eat? Which work with my son? No, all those things were pre-programmed. They were pre-planned. They were pre-installed inside you. You came to this world loaded. Say, I'm loaded. Say, I'm loaded. Say, I'm loaded. And that is why a lot of powers wait for you on the day of naming ceremony. Those who couldn't get you in the womb, they wait on the day of naming. Say, okay, they give birth to a new child. And some of them come with trained eyes. They come and they see, this child gets star where. This star will shine. This star will be bright. And from that point, if they have satanic power and your parents made the mistake of allowing them to carry the child, let me carry the newborn baby and all that, they can transfer things from there. I don't know what was programmed into your life in the day of your naming ceremony. I order that power to get out now. Yeah. Affliction that entered your life on the day of your naming ceremony, I command it to get out now. Yeah. Maybe it was a fetish priest that, some people, they did their naming ceremony at Juju Priest altar. Some, when they get back to them, they had to carry them to the river. They say, we are from River Rhine. The only way we know this is our child. Let's throw the child into the river. If the child floats, it's our own. If it's not, they are dedicating the child from the womb. I claim in the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus over your life, any strange power making a claim over your destiny, may that power be disgraced. We suffocate that power with the blood of Jesus. We disgrace that power with the blood of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, gbogun to rapala wonu ile aye yin latojo ibi ni oruko Jesu inogba jade. Now, with this divine potential that God has pre-installed in us, nobody has any right to be poor or to be miserable in life. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? You are too loaded to faith. If you are to meet with God, if you are to have a meeting with God now, and say, Father, what about me? He will say, my daughter, do you know what? You are too loaded to fail. He will say, my son, do you know what? You are too loaded to fail. I know what I put in you. I know what I pre-installed in you. You are not the one that should be poor. You are not the one that should be in bondage. You are not the one that should be limited. You are loaded. I pre-loaded you. I pre-installed so much in you. You shouldn't be the one that is grounded in life. Say, I refuse to be grounded. Say, I refuse to be limited. I refuse to be poor. I refuse to be a frustrated person. In the name of Jesus. God believes in you more than you believe in yourself, because he knows what he has put in you. I watched a little video. The video was sent by Daimler Benz. They produced some new Mercedes-Benz Jeep. And they were actually armored Mercedes-Benz Jeep. Armored meaning that they were bulletproof. And then to show the public the quality of what they have produced. In that video, after they have finished producing a particular armored Mercedes-Benz brand, the MD of Daimler Benz came and sat in the front seat. And a man took a high-velocity rifle, amen, on the other end, and opened fire on the windscreen, amen. To test it, the MD put his life on the line. He was sure of what they had done. He was confident of the quality of the car they were selling to the public. So if you came and they tell you, bring $25 million, they know what they are selling to. You know what you are buying. So he sat there in the front seat, and then that man opened the full magazine of the automatic rifle on the vehicle. Pa, 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 and all the bullets were dropping. They were dropping. They were dropping. They were dropping. I said, this is excellence. Yoruba man, need you go anybody down the Lord came. I think Barini. Daimler Benz MD could sit down there. You know that there are some rifles that once they hit you, no doctor can treat you. You are gone. Amen. But that's the kind of rifle they use. And they open almost 20 bullets on the windscreen. And you are just falling like that, falling like that, falling like that. I say, good. So any man who has money and say, look, I don't want anybody to shoot me, where do you think he will go and buy Benz? He will go and buy that Jeep because he knows that his life is secure, at least against bullet. Maybe not juju, but at least bullet will not operate. Praise the Lord. So what I'm saying is that if you were to see God now, God will tell you, my daughter, I believe in you more than you believe in yourself. He will say, my son, I believe in you more than you believe in yourself because I know what I have loaded in you. I know what I have packaged in you. I know you are too loaded to fail. You are just looking down on yourself. Even if the devil has 10 horns, if he has 500 heads, he cannot stop what is inside you. He's afraid of what is inside you. That's why he's attacking you. Lift your hand to heaven. Say, my stubborn enemies shall be disgraced. They shall fail woefully. They shall be massively humiliated. This year, my star must shine. I must take a step into my destiny. All barriers before me, I command you to collapse. Now you see, because God knows what he has put in you, every time God wants to walk in your life, he walks with what is already inside you. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly above all we are able to ask or think, according to what? The power that works in us. Ephesians 3:20, Philippians 2:12-13, it says, it is God that works in you, both to the willing and the doing of his good pleasure. When God wants to walk in your life, he doesn't look elsewhere. He starts with what is inside you. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Stop running up and down. If you are looking for God, just look inside. Sit down and look inward. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? If you are not sure that God is working anywhere, look inward. You will see that God is at work. You are loaded. You carry so much. And God wants to work with what is already on your inside. Listen to me. Listen to me. It is good to go to school. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Education has a way of enhancing what is inside you. But if you lack education, it still cannot stop what God wants to do, especially when you have discovered what is on your inside. Lionel Messi is not a graduate. Nnamdi Kanu is not a graduate. Are you getting what I'm saying? But they are world stars. They discovered what was on their inside. They engaged it. And then everybody is singing their praise. I learned Davido one day. Davido went to the, today, our young people today, they praise people like Davido, Obi Kubana and all that. And he went there and began to spray money. And I saw in the headline, they said, Davido went to Obi Kubana's wedding. Mother's burial, to go and spray money. They said, that is influence. I said, little boy, what do you know? Which school you go? How many degree you get? But he discovered a musical gift inside him, engaged it, is known all over the world. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you carry certificate and you don't know what is inside you, you will carry certificate for a long time. But the day you discover what you have, your certificate becomes relevant. Your degree becomes relevant. Your MSc becomes relevant. Your PhD becomes relevant. But if you have all those things and you have not discovered what God put inside you, you will be a miserable person. You will carry degree for nothing. Are you getting what I'm saying? God is not stupid. God will not say it is when you go to school that you will prosper. What will make you to prosper? Listen to me. The fact that you acquired those degrees, the grace, the power, the ability to acquire them was pre-installed. Are you getting it? You thought it was your brain that passed the exam. No, God put it there right from inception. That's why you're able to acquire a degree. You that acquired the degree, don't you think that with the same power inside you to acquire the degree, you can do greater things? You can do more. You can break barriers. You can explore new territories. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Say, I refuse to be limited by the powers that limited my ancestors. I refuse to be caged by the powers that caged my parents. I refuse to be limited by the power that limits most Nigerians. Listen to me. Living in Africa alone is a kind of limitation. Sociologists will tell you that your environment has a way of conditioning the way you think. It has a way of conditioning your mind. When you live in Africa and you think like an African, you'll be limited by what limits normal Africa. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let your brain come out from Africa. I call your brain out of Africa. I call your intellect out of Africa. I call your intellect out of Africa. I release your mind from the dark powers that control Africans. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I upgrade your mind. I upgrade your mind by the power of the Holy Ghost. I upgrade your mind by the power of the Holy Ghost. I unshackle your destiny. In the name of Jesus. That's why people who are not very intelligent, they leave the shores of Nigeria, they get abroad and become high flyer. It's an environmental conditioning. That's why our leaders think the way they think. You will wonder, why will a man steal billion? How much does he need to survive in life? It's an African thing. It's an African mentality. And you see that those who are criticizing the leaders, when they get to power too, they begin to do the same thing. It's a thing in Africa. The environment affects our brain. May God release your mind. May God unshackle your brain. In the name of Jesus, receive the mind of Christ. 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 I activate the mind of Christ in your life. In the name of Jesus. That is why I like churches that are focused and visionary. Every time I come here and our Father in the Lord reads this out to us, I say, this is vision. This is focus. Amen. Go and be streetwise what? Apostles. Amen. We don't need your Christianity here. Go out there. That's where they need it. Amen. Go and make the difference there. Amen. We only gather here to fellowship. We gather here for empowerment. Are you getting it? Once we finish empowering you, you go there and explode. Are you getting it? Now, this is the problem. Satan knows you are loaded. And he knows the problem you will create for him if he allows what is inside you to manifest. He knows you are a bomb waiting for explosion. In other words, he's afraid of what is inside you. Satan is afraid of what God has invested in your life. Satan is afraid of what God has raised you to do in this kingdom and in the world generally. Therefore, he will do everything to ensure that what is inside you never comes to manifestation. And that is the reason for the siege in your life. He will initially try to blind you to what is inside you. Secondly, he will try to make you despise it. Thirdly, he will try to make you ignore it. Fourthly, if all those ones does not work, he will try to negotiate it. Why do you want to go that direction that God is asking? Why don't you go this area? This one is also good now. Amen. And if you refuse all those and you say, I must manifest, then fight will start. He will lay a siege against your life to try to stop you. Listen to me. The more loaded you are, the more crisis you are likely to face in life. Among the 12 sons of Jacob, the one that faced the most crisis was the most loaded, Joseph. What people do to you, listen to me very carefully. What people do to you, the hurts, the deprivation, the betrayal you have suffered, is not to be compared with what is inside you. What is inside you is more important than what you have suffered. In fact, the reason why you suffered those things is because of what is inside you. The devil does not want those things that are inside you to come out into manifestation. That's why he's attacking you from left, right, and center, using people to betray you, to afflict you, to abuse you. The reason is because he's afraid of what you are carrying. Say, I must deliver my divine pregnancy. Say, I must deliver my divine pregnancy. What I have been loaded with, I must deliver to my world. My generation must eat the fruit of my spiritual womb. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, if you look at people like Abraham, Jacob, Joseph, Jephthah, Samson, David, Esther. They went through crisis. And those crises, the purpose of the crisis was to stop what was inside them. Abraham suffered barrenness for 25 years. And he tried every other thing, nothing works, until eventually God gave him the Isaac. And from Isaac came the tribe of Israel. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? But the devil tried to stop the coming of Isaac. He tried to frustrate him. Anybody seeing Abraham in Mesopotamia of the Chaldeans, we think this man is a miserable non-entity, non-starter, persona non grata. He doesn't mean anything. But what God saw in him was more than what others saw in him. And God said, Abraham, come. I will bless you. I will multiply you. I will make your name great. Through you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Abraham will look at himself and say, hey, this one. You know, sometimes when you look at yourself in the mirror, you don't think you amount to much. But if you see yourself in the eyes of God, you are seeing a world changer. You are seeing a national changer. You are seeing somebody that will change Nigeria. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? God believes so much in you. He has so much hope and expectation in you. You can't afford to disappoint him. You can't afford to disappoint your generation. So now that you know this, what do you do? We're looking at the reasons for the siege in your life. And this one is because you are loaded, you are important, you are valuable, and you are strategic. What do you do? Number one, this is very crucial. Insist, say insist, on developing what is inside you. God works with the seed principle. Anything God will do in your life will start in seed form. Even for the Messiah to come to the world, it has to start in the womb of a woman as a seed. Everything God does starts in a seed form. The day you are born, the seed for greatness is there, pre-installed. The seed for success is there, pre-installed. The seed for prosperity is there, pre-installed. Right from the day you were born. The seed for world influence is there. You are not supposed to be limited to Ife. Amen. You can affect the world from Ife here. Are you getting what I'm saying? The seed is there. But you see, you have to develop the seed. The seed has to grow and be developed and be nurtured. And let me show you a satanic trick here, which many people don't know. The enemy likes to keep you busy with a lot of useless things so that you don't have time to grow. If there's anything that limits Christians more than any other thing, it is this thing called growth. Are you getting it? Can I tell you this? There are some battles you will never be able to overcome until you have grown. Amen. There are some things a child outgrows and they are no longer a problem to him. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? And the enemy does not want, he knows that, well, you have discovered the seed. Well, okay, no problem, you can discover the seed. But let's make sure that that seed is not developed. If it's not developed, you cannot do much with it. You can only be saying, I have seed. That's why there are a lot of people who say, look, I know I am loaded inside. I carry so much. But because they refuse to submit to the dealings of growth, they are not amounting to much. I am praying that the Lord will force you to grow up. The Holy Ghost will force you to grow. Lord, don't leave these people like this. I ask that you work on them. Force them to grow. Force the grace inside them to grow. Force that anointing inside them to grow. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, as everyone that is listening to me here, let the dealings of the Holy Spirit start in your life for you to grow, to develop, to become stronger. In the name of Jesus. So you must insist on growing. And growing involves sitting down and listening like this. Growing involves discipleship. Growing involves reading your Bible and seeking God for yourself. Seek to know God for yourself, not just the God that somebody told you about. Are you getting what I'm saying? Growing involves personal time with God in prayer, in fellowship and in relationship. That is how you grow. Praise the Lord. Growing requires obedience to God. There are some things you never learn from God unless you obey. Are you getting it? May God help you to grow. So the number one thing you do is that you must insist on developing what is inside you. Insist on growing. I watched the Olympics and I saw the failure of Nigerian athletes. And some people are blaming the coach. And I said, well, you can blame the coach, but also there is a responsibility on the part of the individual athlete to develop themselves. If you are waiting for a coach to develop you, I feel sorry for you. Amen. When I started Christianity, I learned as much as I could from people, but I spent half of my salary on books. I would buy books, read, buy books, read, buy books, read. I read all the readables. I listened to all the listenables. Amen. And I kept doing that and kept doing that and kept doing that till today I'm still a reader. I read every day. I read a book every day. Amen. I don't finish in a day, but I read a portion. Tomorrow I come back, read, 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 read. You cannot grow except you make personal effort. Growth is not something they lay hand on you, say, grow in Jesus' name. It doesn't work that way. It's a personal effort. You must have an ambition to grow. There must be a spiritual ambition. Unfortunately, some people in church don't have spiritual ambition. They just come down and sit down. Pastor, oh yeah, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me, feed me. And they keep feeding them and keep them. And not much can enter because there is no spiritual ambition. Proverbs 27 verse 7 says, the full soul loathes the honeycomb. He said, but to a hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. You know the meaning of that statement? He said, the full soul, when your soul is full and they bring honeycomb to you, say, no, I cannot eat. The honeycomb is sweet, but because your soul is full, you cannot eat. But even when you are hungry, if they bring anything that is not half as sweet as honeycomb, what do? You will eat it. I remember when they took Ganifa with me to Gashua prison in those days. For the first day when they got there, he didn't like their food. He said, I refuse to eat the food. I didn't like the treatment. I didn't like this kind of food. He said, but after about a week, hunger dealt with me. One day they brought that food. I ate it like the best food I've ever eaten in my life. That was the food he rejected when he first of all got to Gashua. But after 7 days of hunger, he ate it and licked his hand. It's the same thing that happens spiritually. When you are not hungry, not much can happen. You will not grow. May God make you hungry. Number two, deploy what is inside you in service to humanity. In the kingdom, we grow by use. He says, strong meat belongs to them who by reason of use have their senses exercised. In this kingdom of God, we grow by use. What you do not exercise, what do you not use, will not develop. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Listen, there are some jobs you accept, not because of what they are paying, but because of the experience you will gain there. That's why you accept the job. You are doing the job because of what you will learn there, what it will develop in you. And then, after a while, when the writing has been developed in you, your employer will know, this boy is now valuable. So they will try to increase your salary or else they will lose you to another person. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? I remember when I was listening to the organization I used to work before. I was a plant manager in a manufacturing company in Lagos. And they had trained me everywhere. They trained me in UK. They sent me on all kind of training. And the day I said I was leaving, there was nothing they didn't do. They begged me, what are you going to do? Hey, we have a lot of things for you to do. You are about to become the next general manager. Why are you leaving? And blah, blah, blah. I said, God has told me to drop everything. I said, when I took this job 10 years ago, the Lord told me you will spend only 10 years here. And after 10 years, you are going to full-time ministry. I said, time has come. The Lord is troubling. Even me, I don't want to leave because I'm enjoying my job now. Amen. The money is there and I'm traveling abroad and all that. Why do I want to leave now? But for 1.5 to 2 years, I struggled with it and eventually I had to drop it. They said, okay, before you go, help us to train somebody to take your place. So I stayed back for another 6 months to train a person to take my place. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? That was when I knew that power is very sweet. Amen. I was controlling a factory of almost 700 workers. My words were law. Amen. But you see, when I had to train somebody to take my own place, I felt I was losing something. So when you are blaming politicians, say, hey, they are sit tight governors, sit tight president. Hey, you never get there. That's why you are thinking that way. When you get there, you know what sit tight is. If God has not spoken to me, there is no way I would train somebody. He didn't know what I knew. He had not gone to all the courses I've attended. So there is no way I would train somebody to take my own place. If I did not know that God said, drop it. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? So Develop what is inside you and deploy it to the service of humanity. If there's a place you can serve in church and you know you have the grace and the gift and the grace to do so, serve faithfully. Pour your life out in service to God and see what God will do with what you are offering him in service. And I think on one of these DSTV channels, they are showing the story of this woman now, Aretha Franklin. How many of you have been watching it? Oh my God. The Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin. And they were showing her life history, and it was being acted out. And I saw that she started singing from the church choir. It was from the church choir she started singing, and from there God lifted her. God lifted her. In fact, she experienced crisis even right from the church. Until she became an international celebrity, the Queen of Soul. She's gone to be with the Lord now. I believe so. I believe she was born again before she died. But Aretha Franklin came to the limelight right from the church. Serve God. Give your heart to God. Give your service to God. Pour your energy unto God in service and see how God will lift you up. Number three, when you are discouraged, always draw from the resources that God has placed on your inside. Listen to me. There is nobody who does not face discouragement in life. A time came, Elijah was just discouraged. He said, God killed me, even though it was a witchcraft influence. Whether by witchcraft or by other means, people get discouraged in life. And one of the ways you can encourage yourself is by drawing from the inner resources on your inside. Let me give you an example. Anytime I feel discouraged, you know what other thing I do? I begin to thank God for everything he has done through his grace upon my life. I begin to thank him for the miracles that have happened in every place. I begin to thank him for cancer tumors that drop from people's body in the place of prayer. I begin to thank him for all kinds of deliverances. I begin to thank him for what has happened, for where he has taken me to, not by my certificate, but by the grace of God upon my life. I begin to thank him for the access I have had to governmental offices, to Aso Rock, and to all those places because of what God has used his grace to do in my life. As I begin to think about that, I begin to thank him for that, encouragement returns. Amen. Strength returns. So God did all this through me and others. So when you are discouraged, draw from the inner resources of what God has put in. If you are a singer, remember the time when you sang, the power of God fell. The God who did that can still do greater things. If you are a drummer, remember the time you drum and the Holy Ghost took over the service. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Whatever you are doing for God, there is a time will come, the enemy will try to discourage you, and you are just going to say, Lord, you did that, you did that, you did that. Blessed be your name. I worship you, I praise you. And then encouragement will come. If you are discouraged here today, I am praying that the Lord will encourage you. The Lord will strengthen your heart. The Lord himself will strengthen you in his own way, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We were going to end the year, last year, and I've been praying some prayers to God, and I've been trying to look at the year for some significant things that God has done. I thank God for some of the things he has done, but I will say, Lord, is this year going to end like this? Amen. So I was just praying. 2 days to the end of the year, a friend of mine just came on a visit, and he entered my office, and then we had some chats, and then I prayed with him. And as he was about to go, he said, man of God, he said, the Lord told me that the moment I entered here, to change all the furniture in this office. He gave me a check of over $1 million to change all the furniture. Of course, that was an encouragement to me that I had not labored in vain during the year. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't know why I'm sharing it, but there's somebody here, the Lord will encourage you. The Lord will encourage your labor. The Lord will encourage all that you have been doing for him in his house in the name of Jesus. It looks as if nobody is seeing you. It looks as if nobody is saying thank you enough. But the Lord himself has his way of saying thank you. Say, Father, thank you. Thank you for your grace. Encouragement is coming. Number four, refuse to give up your dreams and ambition. Refuse to give up your dreams and ambition. You have a dream, you have an ambition, God has spoken to you, you have packaged something together, and you are hoping that it will become a reality. Don't worry whether there is no helper, don't worry whether there is no money. Hold on to God, write it on a sheet of paper, present it to God regularly in prayer, talk to God regularly in prayer. One day, that dream will become a reality. Are you getting what I'm saying? The devil will do everything in your life to make sure you throw away that destiny dream, but don't throw it away. Are you getting what I'm saying? Give it your best shot in prayer, give it your best shot in fasting, talk to God before you go on a retreat with it, present it before the Lord, and keep pushing and pushing and pushing. One day there's going to be a breakthrough. Hallelujah. Number five, second to the last, cry out to God for help. In a siege situation, when you are overwhelmed, when you are surrounded, when you are outnumbered, cry out to God for help. Cry out to God for help. I remember the testimony. I went to preach in a Redeemed Church in Lagos, and one of the pastors was sharing his testimony with me. He said he wanted to marry his wife, and he said he didn't have money. He said his salary was less than 50,000 naira. And by the time she and the lady have decided that they were marrying each other, and he was now to go and see the parents, the parents accepted him somehow. But when he became very serious that this guy will really marry our daughter, then they began to change. They began to see another thing. When they saw that he was very serious about marrying her, and they began to talk to her, this guy, salary, less than 50,000. He doesn't have a car. Where is he living? He said he has just rented a house. Is he this kind of person you want to marry? No. You will not marry this one. And then the family suddenly turned against him that you cannot marry our daughter. You are not ready. And the guy did everything, took his parents there. They will not listen to him. They say, you are not ready. He said, when all entities has failed, he now went to prayer before the Lord. And he told God, he said, Lord, I will not stop this prayer and fasting until you answer me. And he began to pray. And he began to pray. And he began to pray. He said, on the 11th day, he said, somebody called him. He said, Pastor so-and-so. He said, yes, how are you, ma? He said, I hope all is well. He said, it's not well, oh. All is not well. The lady had labored over to marry. They are telling me I cannot marry. He now downloaded the story of what happened to him to that fellow on the phone. He said, eh? He said, is that what happened? He said, okay, send me your account number. The person transferred 1.8 million to his account. He said, go and buy a car and drive it to the place. And show. Are you getting it? So he went and bought a Tokumbo car of 1.5 million naira. And you know, a Tokumbo car of 1.5 million about 7 years ago. He drove it to the place and they look at him differently. Apart from the out of the dream, he took 50,000 and told the lady, give that to your father. By the time that happened, they changed their tongue. To cut a long story short, he married the sister. He went to cry out to God. Amen. Because when you talk about family, the father said no. The mother said no. The uncle said no. Who are you going to talk to again? You took your own people there. They said no. So he went to God to pray. When you are facing a siege, learn to cry out to God. Hold on to the horns of the altar. One thing I know about prayer is this. Prayer always works. It's just that most people do not pray as they ought to pray. Are you getting what I'm saying? We do not tarry long in prayer. We do not hold on to the horn of the altar as we ought to. Prayer works always. Whether in the short run or in the long run, prayer always works. So hold on to the horns of the altar in what? In prayer. Finally, number 6. Call down the fire of God from heaven to consume the siege. And this is where I'm going to stop. Call down the fire of God from heaven to consume the siege. 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. 2 Kings chapter 1 verse 9 to 10. It reads, then the king sent unto him a captain of 50 with his 50. And he went up to him, and behold, he sat on the top of a hill. And he spoke unto him, thou man of God, the king has said, come down. I'm praying for somebody here. Your star will not come down. Your income will not come down. Your intelligence will not come down. Your authority will not come down. Your grace will not come down. He said, come down. And Elijah answered and said to the captain of 50, if I be a man of God, then let fire come down from heaven and consume thee and thy 50. And there came down fire from heaven and consumed him and his 50. They sent a detachment of 50 soldiers with their captain, making 51, to arrest Elijah. And he said, if I be a man of God, let fire from heaven come down and consume you and your 50. And instantly, the fire of God roasted them all. Are you getting what I'm saying? So you can say, if I be a child of God, let the fire of God waste this siege. If I be a child of God, let the fire of God waste these attackers. If I be a child of God, let the fire of God consume every power in charge of this siege. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? I will show you another one from Revelation. You see that when believers are surrounded, one of the things you release is fire of God from heaven. Revelation chapter 20. We will read from verse 7 to 9. Revelation chapter 20, from verse 7 to 9. It says, and when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan will be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Note that Satan will mobilize great host, multitude, against the camp of the believers in those days. And they went up to the breadth, on the breadth of the earth, and compassed. What does it mean to compass? To surround the camp of the saints round about and the beloved city. And what happened? And fire came down from God out of where? Heaven, and devoured them. I am praying for somebody here. The battle surrounding you, may they catch fire. I say, may they catch fire. I say, may they catch fire. I say, may they catch fire. Say 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 fire. If not die, let them die. If na kolo, may them kolo. If na peme, let them peme. All I want is victory. Hallelujah. Let them die. If na kolo, may them kolo. If na peme. Choir, are you still seated? Let I want is victory. Hallelujah. Let them die. If na kolo, let them kolo. If na peme, let them peme. All I want is victory. Hallelujah.
If na die, let them die. If na kolo,
now listen.
Let them kolo.
What does it mean, kolo? Kolo means to run mad. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? All I want is what? Victory. When the fire of God comes, the one we go kill, you go kill. The one that will run mad, we run mad. Are you getting what I'm saying to you? Lift your hand to heaven. Say, if not die.
Let them die.
If not kolo, let them kolo. If not peme, let them peme. All I want is victory.
Hallelujah.
If not die, let them die. If not kolo, let them kolo. If not peme, let them peme. All I want is victory.
Hallelujah. Morning, the Lord will walk with fire. I said the Lord will walk with fire. Say 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 fire. I'm going to lead you to sing a Yoruba song. You see, when you are outnumbered, when you are outgunned, when you are overwhelmed, when you are surrounded, is the time to sing such a song. It goes like this. Baba, say Baba. Omo.
Omo.
Emi mi mo.
Emi mi mo.
E wa ba mi segun eniyan ta pa mi o ka.
E wa ba mi segun eniyan ta pa mi o ka.
Baba. Omo. Emi mi mo. E wa ba mi segun eniyan ta pa mi o ka.
Baba,
Omo,
Emi,
Emi, Mo,
Ewa, Pami,
listen. Satan is a spirit. He doesn't come as a human being, but he uses human beings. Are you getting it? And if you are not a wise Christian, you will not know that those human beings are not really your enemies, but Satan is the one using them. Are you getting it? As you sing a song like this, any human being that Satan is using against you, God will neutralize the person. I say God will neutralize the person. I say God will neutralize the person. I say God will neutralize the person. Baba, Omo, Emi Mimo, Ewa Bami Shagwe, Niota Bami Oka. Pẹ̀lú iná, ẹ sọ pé iná, say fire, say fire, iná Olúwa, iná Olúwa, say after me,
iná Olúwa,
iná Olúwa,
iná Olúwa,
say, iná Olúwa,
iná Olúwa,
iná Olúwa,
iná Olúwa,
iná Olúwa,
iná Olúwa,
iná ẹ̀mí mímọ́. You are going to shout fire 21 times. Fire 21 times. Say fire! 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 Ya 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 ya! Stretch your hands to the altar. Gbogbo ton ba gbe si e lara ton da e laamu ni oruko Jesu mo ni ko ma pora. Ọfà jẹ́ tó ti wọlé, mo pa láṣẹ ní orúkọ Jésù, mo ní kẹ́ jáde. Ogún èṣù tó ti wọlé ní orúkọ Jésù, mo ní kẹ́ jáde. Agbára òkùnkùn tó ń bá yín fínra ní orúkọ Jésù, mo ní kó jọ̀wọ́ yín lónìí. 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 That person that something is crawling around in your body, nkokon rin kakiri ara re ni oruko Jesu mo ni ko jade 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 go. Whatever sickness is in your body, I address them in the name of he that died and rose again, Jesus Christ, Son of God. Affliction, go! Affliction, go! Infirmity, go! Oppression, go! Yes, out, 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 out. Yes, that short spirit, that short devil coming out from somebody, go now in the name of Jesus. There's a demon that just came out of somebody, a very short spirit like this. That thing goes now. You are loose from that affliction. Never to return, 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 never to return. In the name of Jesus, affliction shall not rise again the second time. I decree your deliverance. I decree your release. I decree your freedom. Be loosed, 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 be free, be free, be free. Now, in the name of Jesus, what God has packaged in you before you are born, I call them to manifestation. Ogo yeko jade. Ogo yeko jade, ogo yeko jade, ogo yeko jade, irawa yeko ton. Let that star shine. Let that star shine. Let the glory manifest in the name of Jesus. Ogo mi jade wa. Ogo mi jade wa. Ogo mi to wa ni boji. Ogo mi jade wa o si gbangba. O ma jade wa si gbangba gbogbo aye ma ri. Amen. That which the Lord has pre-installed you with, that which he has packaged you with, is coming into manifestation now. It's coming to manifestation now. Come my jade wasi bangba. Kugwa ye come bere siri in the name of Jesus. Ogo mi jade wa. Ogo mi jade wa. Ogo mi to wa ni boji. Ogo mi jade wa o si gbangba.
Ogo mi jade wa. Ogo mi jade wa. Ogo mi to wa ninu oji. Ogo mi jade wa o.
If you are here, you cannot confidently say that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to pray with you wherever you are. Lay your hand on your chest. You cannot confidently say you know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Lay your hand on your chest. I want to pray for you wherever you are there. Just put your hand on your chest there. Father, I pray for your sons and your daughters right now in Jesus' name. I ask in the name of Jesus that you will give them the miracle of salvation, the experience of personal encounter with Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I break the power of sin. And I ask in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that the Spirit of God will do a work of recreation in their spirit. We do a work of regeneration in their spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the witness of God be in their spirit that they have had encounter with Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we pray. If you pray that prayer with me, I'd like you to step forward here. I'd like you to lay my hands upon your head. Just come here. I want to lay hands on you. You pray that prayer with me. You lay your right hand on your chest and you pray that prayer. Please come forward. Come, 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 come. I want to lay my hands on you. Come, 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 come. Come, Come to the front. Come to the front. I want to lay hands on you. You pray that prayer with me. Come. If you are serious about it, come with me. Come to the front here. I want to lay my hands upon you. Come. Come. From wherever you are, come. 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 Come and meet me in front here. Let's keep clapping for them as they come. I'm waiting for you. I saw a number of hands. Please keep coming. Keep coming. If you're in the upper gallery, please come. I'm waiting for you. It's because of you I'm delaying. Please keep coming. You pray that prayer with me. Please come. Right. You in front, I want you to say this with me. Say, in Jesus' name, I believe in the gospel. I repent of my sins. And I ask for the cleansing of the blood of Jesus. Today, I renounce the devil. I renounce my sins. And I confess Jesus that from today, he is the Lord of my life. He is my Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I hand over the control of my life to you from today. In the name of Jesus. Say with me now. Say, today, I drop my sins at the altar. And I receive God's gift of righteousness through Jesus Christ. Say it again. Today, I drop my sins at the altar. And I receive God's free gift of righteousness in the name of Jesus. And for the final time, say it again. I drop my sins at the altar today. And I receive God's free gift of righteousness. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen. Father, grant them the gift of righteousness from today. Let them become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Go and experience the efficacy and the reality of the grace and the power of God. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. I want to thank every one of you. Please follow our mommy. I want to thank every one of you for this time with you. Tomorrow, Monday, I'll be coming with my wife. Amen. And I want to plead with our Father to just give her about 20 to 25 minutes to lead praise. Amen. That's all. How many of you know Pastor Buke Owosheni? You know her here? Anybody? Oh my God. You know her? You are the only one that know her. Okay. She'll be here tomorrow. Thank you very much for your time. God bless you.